This is an iHeart podcast.
On the Jordan Harbinger Show, you'll hear amazing stories from people that have lived them, from spies to CEOs, even an undercover agent who infiltrated the Gambino crime family. You're about to hear a preview of the Jordan Harbinger Show with Jack Garcia, who did just that.
My career was 24 out of 26 years was solely dedicated working undercover. Now I walk in, I'm in the bar. Now there's a barmaid there, good looking young lady. She's serving me a drink. Hey, what would you like? My drink was, give me a Kettle One martini, three olives, glass of water on the side. I finish the drink. The guys come in. I'm going to go in my pocket, take out the big wad of money. Bam, I give her $100. If you're with the mob, I say, hey, Jordan, you're on record with us. That means we protect you. Nobody could shake you down. We could shake you down, but you're on record with us.
For more on how Jack became so trusted in the highest levels of the Gambino organization, check out episode 392 of the Jordan Harbinger Show.
It's here. It's Super Bowl night. It's debate night. It's going to be fun. We're going to do a whole debate preview show. And don't forget, you're going to catch the debate live right here on the first, 9 p.m. Eastern. But first, your pre-debate from me coming up next. Debate night. I know you're excited. I'm excited. Allow me to give you a little fatherly piece of advice. Don't play any of these stupid debate drinking games where candidate says this or candidate says that, because I've seen a lot of these things floating around out there and y'all are going to die tonight. Just sip on a little water, maybe a little late night cup of coffee if that's your thing, and enjoy all the fireworks, because isn't that why we do politics? Deep down, you enjoy it, right? I enjoy it. The struggle. It's always a struggle. There's always something to freak out about, something to be happy about. Be happy about tonight. Don't stress it. It's going to be a great night. Here's what you're going to see. Here's what you're not going to see. Here are the dangers for the candidates. First of all, let's start with Donald Trump. Donald Trump does very well on a debate stage. He does very well giving speeches. My big and frankly only concern about Donald Trump tonight and his performance is this. Small crowd. Last I heard, it was going to be 70 people in the audience. There are different kinds of people in this world. Most people, many people, you might be like this, they really, really fear public speaking. You know, they always say it's one of the number one phobias out there. You get up in front of the room and everybody's staring at you and you get nervous. That's fine. It's perfectly natural. Don't feel bad if that's you. That's most people. However, there are some people out there, and this is Donald Trump, they live for it. Live for it. It energizes them. It's what makes them tick. I have seen this in person. We ended up scoring these great seats to the Donald Trump rally here in Houston. And on top of the rock concert atmosphere going in, and it is fun. I would highly recommend going to one if you ever get the chance. People have signs. There's tailgating. The women are even dressed to the nines like it's a big fancy World Series game. It's hilarious. It's awesome. But Donald Trump got up there and spoke, and I'm not making this up. I was seated and enjoying the speech, and I got so tired, I left seated watching it before he was done talking. He was well over an hour, still going, didn't look tired at all, because he feeds off the crowd. If you're one of the people who enjoy it, you feed off the crowd. It's going to be an adjustment for Donald Trump to not have a crowd. If there are 70 in there, let's be generous and say it's 50-50. He's got 35 fans. That's not a crowd. And it's certainly not a crowd if you're Donald Trump. And you can roll your eyes at this all you want. It matters. What was the worst period of time in the Trump presidency by a mile? The coronavirus stuff, when he wasn't doing rallies, when he was in the White House giving press conferences. He wasn't himself. He looked weak, sounded feeble. It was not himself because he wasn't out there getting the thing that gives him life. I am worried about that for Trump tonight. We'll see how he does. Trump aside, this is Joe Biden's debate. That's because this debate is all about Joe Biden. Donald Trump is president of the United States, so he's on television all the time. Donald Trump's also out there doing rallies, so he's out there on television doing rallies all the time. Meaning, you get Donald Trump on your television set all the time. Joe Biden, you don't. You get more Jill Biden than you do Joe Biden. Joe Biden's been calling it a lid on a day at 9 or 10 a.m. every day, supposedly to debate prep, but nobody really believes that. The truth is, all voters, left, right, and middle, they are questioning Joe Biden's fitness for public office. Understandably so. Look, I've already said he's not fit. If you're paying any attention at all, you know, whether left or right, wherever you stand, that man cannot physically do it. He can't mentally do it. He will not. Honestly, I hate to say this, I don't think he'll survive the stresses of the job. I'm not wishing that on the man. I don't believe he would. Now, voters have these questions too. Swing voters have these questions too. And remember, this debate tonight is not about you. It's not about me. Keep that in mind as you watch. I have to constantly remind myself of that. It's not about me. I'll be watching. Talk about regulations more. Talk about cutting spending more. Why? The public doesn't care about cutting spending. I do. Maybe you do. The Rust Belt swing voter who voted for Barack Obama twice and then turned around and voted for Donald Trump? That guy doesn't give a crap about spending at all. So remember that when you watch. But Joe Biden now, because there are so many questions about his fitness for public office, he has to get up there tonight and he has to be sharp. It doesn't matter if you disagree with everything that comes out of his mouth. If he's up there and he's sharp, that'll be a good night for Joe Biden. This is Joe Biden's night. Donald Trump is known. He's a known entity. Joe Biden, he's not known anymore. You know him as Obama's vice president. You don't know what this current Joe Biden is. He has to get up there and show the American people he can physically and mentally do it. What are you going to see out of Joe Biden? I think you'll be impressed for a while. I think he will overtake your expectations for a while. And here's what I mean by that. I don't think this. I know this. Joe Biden is going to have a medical team juicing him up. How do I know this? Because it's the worst kept rumor in Washington, D.C. now. Why do you think the President of the United States has been practically begging for drug tests all the way leading up to this debate? Because if I know it, trust me, the President of the United States knows it too. Joe Biden has refused, continues to refuse these drug tests and will never accept them because he's 100% going to be on them. What drugs am I talking about? No, Joe Biden is not buying street meth and smoking it or snorting it or whatever you do with street meth before he goes up there on the stage. He is going to have established medical professionals giving him the legal version of all that, drugging him out of his mind so he will seem sharp like he did when he gave that 24-minute speech at the DNC convention. That's fine and it's not fine. One, it's not really fair, is it? That's why Trump's been announcing, begging for the drug tests, announcing we should have one all the time. It's not fair. Okay, setting fair aside, because there is no fairness in this life, it's really unhealthy physically for Joe Biden. As you've heard me say several times, I'm worried that Joe Biden's people are going to kill him on accident. He's old, he's feeble, he's clearly not doing well. Look, drugs are hard when you're young and healthy. They're hard on the body. When you're that's dangerous. That's a dangerous game you're playing. That's one. Two, what do you do if they wear off? There's a great chance, because you're probably going to watch the whole thing right here tonight on the 1st. By the way, we're carrying the whole thing live on the 1st. You're probably going to watch the whole thing. There's a chance Joe Biden's going to go downhill halfway through, an hour into it. I don't know the capability they have these days of getting him up and ready, but I do know this. There's a time limit always. There's a time limit on all of this. And you may see Joe Biden start to crack up a bit. Will that matter? I don't know. And I say that because of this. The average voter who's not decided, which you know there's like five of them out there now, but those are the people who will decide the election. Are they going to watch the entire debate? What is it, 90 minutes long? Oh, don't get me wrong. You're a political nerd. I know you will. I'm a political nerd. I will. I'll be watching every single minute of it. I may watch the whole thing and rewind it and watch it twice. I fully admit my vices. That's fine. But is the undecided voter going to? Again, that's the question. What is the undecided voter seeing? How will they consume the debate? Is Joe Biden going to perform good enough for 20 or 30 minutes? And then the undecided voter decides, it's back to Netflix. Very good chance of that. Very good chance. One last thing I want to bring up, because I'm seeing this all over the place. The Donald Trump campaign has asked to have both candidates have their ears examined before they go on the stage to make sure there aren't any devices in their ears. By devices, I mean obviously a way somebody can speak to Joe Biden Navy SEAL style. Let me pause you there with that. I don't think it would help him. In fact, it might hurt him. I work for 4 hours at work. If you want to call TV and radio work, that's fine. But I work for 4 hours every single day with an earpiece in. I have one in my ear right now. See that? It's in my ear all the time. I have one in my ear for 3 hours a day on radio. It's so producers can tell me certain things, time to break, not time to break, speak about a guest. We can talk during the show. You know what they never, ever, 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 ever do to me right now during radio? They never say a word. I could take this whole thing out and drop it. They never say a word. Why? Because I can't speak to you and listen to them. Maybe you're one of the few people out there in the world who can. I cannot, and most people cannot. And that's me. I'm 39. Joe Biden is, what, 77? Going on 197? Do you think he can listen and speak at the same time without losing his train of thought? He can't. I can't. Maybe they can help you through a word here or there. Maybe that's the plan for Joe Biden's team, if they are really going to put an earpiece in his ear. But I don't think it's going to help him. It doesn't help as much as you think. And maybe you're saying to me, well, Jesse, they can, while Trump's speaking and Biden's quiet, they can give him some facts and stuff. Let me stop you. And I've had to have this argument with several people before. You're a political person. You probably even like history, American history, maybe world history. I do. You love details and facts, probably. That's not what debates are about. Debates are not about you. They're not about me. This is the actual latitude and longitude of the South China Sea. Nobody cares. Now, you have to show you own enough of the facts, you have enough of the facts that you are competent, but debates are about feel. Sometimes you don't need to rebut what the guy just said at all. Sometimes you don't need to rebut what the guy just said with a defense of yourself. Sometimes it's time to make a joke. Sometimes it's time to be serious. Sometimes it's time to be sad. Sometimes it's time to be happy. Sometimes it's time for facts. What I'm saying is, earpiece or no earpiece, this debate is all about Joe Biden, for Joe Biden. Nobody can save him. It doesn't matter. Either he can feel it or he can't feel it. That's really the question. Can Joe Biden feel it? I don't know. He used to be able to. He kicked the crap out of Paul Ryan. I mean, Paul Ryan sucks at debating, but he kicked the crap out of Paul Ryan. Joe Biden's been a politician long enough to be able to do this, but that was earlier Joe Biden. I could do a lot of things at 20 that I can't do anymore now that I'm 39 and my right knee hurts if I run more than 2 miles. Father Time is undefeated, and Joe Biden is not the same man. Will the drugs get him back to that point? Maybe, maybe not. I can't say. But we're about to find out tonight. This is going to be freaking sweet. Trump Jr. had this to say.
Now, again, Joe Biden should be decent at a debate. He's been doing it for half a century. I'm worried about Joe Biden the other 22 hours of a day where he can't seem to leave the basement. I've seen my father. I've seen how he's dealt with this job. I get the call at 1 o'clock in the morning when he's still in the Oval Office sometimes. You know, you can't do this job 1 hour a day, 2 hours a day, every fourth day. It's a 24/7 job, and I just don't know that Joe has the vitality to handle that. And that seems to be apparent based on, you know, the way he's able to, you know, not campaign.
Something to keep in mind. I mean, isn't that the most important thing right now? Whether he's a Democrat or Republican, left, right, center, wherever you fall, the job of being president of the United States of America is an all-consuming, stressful job. You've seen him before. You've seen the before George W. Bush, the before president and after president. Barack Obama, too, before president, after being president. Go look if you don't believe me. They look like they've aged decades. Joe Biden can't physically do this job. all that may have made you uncomfortable, but I'm right. Now, here's something else that might make you uncomfortable. We're printing money like nobody's ever printed money. We're printing money unbacked. Unbacked. And this isn't a theory. There are plenty of economic theories out there. This is a fact. And the fact of the matter is, when you print money unbacked, you devalue that money. And we have businesses going out of business all the time now. Please get a gold IRA from Gold Alliance to protect yourself for when that market does a correction. I realize that's a nice way we're supposed to say that. Make sure you don't lose everything you've worked hard for. Go to goldalliance.com/Jesse. That's goldalliance.com/Jesse. We'll be back. We're back. It's more debate prep. More debate. Getting you prepped. Getting me prepped. Yes! So excited for this night. And here's the thing. Donald Trump is going to get up there and he's going to list his accomplishments. Joe Biden's going to do the same thing. You know, this is not rocket science. Donald Trump is going to say, here's all the reasons I walk on water, and here's all the reasons he's the Antichrist. And Joe Biden's going to say the exact same thing opposite. We know that. But Trump, he does have, as president, a laundry list of accomplishments. And that's part of the reason why it's so hard to unseat a sitting president. When you're the challenger, no matter what your resume was a long time ago, you haven't done squat for the last 4 years because you haven't been president. Donald Trump has been. And look, the tax cuts, they mattered.
We passed the largest tax cuts in the history of our country. The Democrats want to raise your taxes. Tell me about that. Tell me about that. I guess I'm old-fashioned. You know, all my life, I heard politicians want to lower taxes, not raise them. If you could lower them, you couldn't lose. The Democrats want to substantially raise your taxes. How do you figure that? How do you figure that? And regulation cuts, we passed more regulation cuts than any administration in the history of our country.
Look, that's humongous. Honestly, probably more than the taxes. Donald Trump taking an absolute battle axe to the regulations in this country, it's what brought businesses back to life. And what's so odd is Joe Biden, he doesn't hide that he's against it all.
When would you make these changes is my point, because the economy is in a bad state right now. You wouldn't, I mean, would you wait for unemployment to go under 2%?
No. I'd make the changes on the corporate taxes on day one. And the reason I make the change in the corporate taxes, it can raise $1.3 trillion if they just start paying at 28% instead of 21%.
Doesn't it kind of skeeve you out a little, creep you out a little, if you want to put it that way, the way Democrats talk about taxes? I mean, that's Joe Biden. You know, he's old, feeble Joe Biden. But just the way they think about taxes, because it can raise over $1 trillion. If we just take the tax from 21%, it's 28%. That's not your money. And they act as if all money is their money, as if you only have the money you have because they've allowed you to have it. Oh, we could take more, but you know, go ahead, keep a little for yourself. It creeps me out the way they view the world, the way they view the taxpayer. What a bunch of blood-sucking leeches. It's amazing. Joe Biden, we know Joe Biden tonight, for a fact, is going to blame all the coronavirus deaths on Donald Trump. We know that because he's been doing it at every single campaign event since he started. Here he was.
And the virus is not his fault, but the deaths are his fault, because he could have done something about it, Jake. I'd say to your uncle, he could have done something about it, but he said nothing. He didn't talk. He said, there's no need for social distancing. Don't bother wearing masks. He actually went so far as to suggest that it was a violation of American freedom to maintain you had to wear a mask.
It is. It's completely unconstitutional.
the President of the United States, the Congress, the Senate, SCOTUS, I don't care who it is, nobody actually has the authority to tell you you have to wear something in this country. Now, a private business can say wear something or you can't come in. That's their business. But a politician does not have that right. And I know we've lost that in this country. You do remember we've had a pastor arrested for having church during this coronavirus stuff, a blatant violation of his First Amendment rights. But setting that aside, mayors don't have that authority either. Governors don't have that authority either. You can't tell me what to wear. Oh, but it's for your own good. No, you don't understand. Even if I did buy into your coronavirus hysteria, you don't have the authority to tell me what to wear. But again, that's how they view the world. That's the creepy way these Democrats view the world. As they're in charge, you can keep as much of your money as they allow you to have, and you'll wear something if they tell you to wear it. No, I don't think we will. And something else we know is going to come up tonight. Joe Biden, I'll be interested to see how he approaches this. He's going to bring up the Supreme Court nominee, Amy Coney Barrett, tonight.
U.S. Constitution provides one chance, one, for the Americans to have their voices heard on who serves a lifetime appointment on the Supreme Court, who makes those big decisions about their health care, their civil rights, and much else. That chance is now. That moment is now. And the voters, in my view, are not going to stand for this abuse of power. And if we're to call ourselves a democracy, their voices must be heard.
Abuse of power. I'll be interested to see if he tries that tonight, and this is what I mean by that. You can say things like, this has never been done before. It's a blatant lie. You can say those things, though, on the campaign trail when you're giving speeches to the eight people in Joe Biden's crowd, when you're talking to the media who are all cheering for you anyway. But you can't say those things on the debate stage with Donald Trump, especially not with Donald Trump, because Donald Trump's going to call you on that. In fact, Donald Trump's going to enjoy calling you on that. The SCOTUS thing. Watch out for that tonight. I'll be interested to see how Joe Biden approaches it. Now, speaking of uncomfortable things, you don't practice enough with your weapon. And I'm not blaming you. I don't either. I've put so many thousands of rounds through weapons in my lifetime. I just have. Even still, those skills erode without practice. And believe me when I tell you, when you are in mortal danger and you need those skills, you are not going to be good enough if you think you'll figure it out at the time. It has got to be automatic. Now, I know what you're saying, Jesse, but I don't have time to go to the range. Or ammo's so expensive. I know. I'm right there with you. I'm not made of money. I have an iTarget. Go get an iTarget. You practice with your weapon at home. They will send you a laser bullet with the caliber you use. They will send you a little target with it. And you put an app on your phone and practice from the comfort of your home. It takes away all the excuses. Go to itargetpro.com. Make sure you use the promo code Jesse. Go practice with your weapon. We'll be back. Joining me now, Buck Sexton of the Buck Sexton Show. I mean, you don't even really have to introduce Buck Sexton anymore because he's all over the First. He's probably on your local radio station as well. Why wouldn't he be? He's on every other one. Buck, now shoot me straight on this. I sounded like my grandpa when I opened the show tonight, and I told people, don't play these debate drinking games because you're going to kill yourself. Just kick back and watch the debate. Full disclosure, are you going to have a cocktail during the debate?
I'm watching with my siblings, which is exciting because they don't actually work in political commentary and yet can be even saltier than I am in this stuff. So that's always, I'm like, damn, you guys really don't mess around. Tonight, I'm not going to be drinking because I'm going to be tweeting. And I can tell you from not personal, but near personal experience, drinking and tweeting, Jesse, it's dangerous business, especially during a debate.
Yes. Yes, it certainly can. That great joke that sounds so funny about five whiskeys in can mean no more Buck Sexton the next day on your television set. Even though, actually, they probably wouldn't care here at the first, but I can't speak for your radio stations. But I like that you're watching with siblings. See, I do the same kind of thing. I have a bunch of neighbors of mine, Republican-leaning neighbors, but non-political people, and I love watching these things with them because you and I are way too deep in the bubble to know what real people see. I think everybody in our business should do it.
No, absolutely, and it's funny because my family runs really the gamut from being, you know, center right, I'd say, to one family member who's like, I'm sorry, are you being insufficiently supportive of President Trump? He's taking on the deep state, Buck. So there's a whole, we got a whole range on the right here. And I'm actually, believe it or not, almost in the middle of the range. So it's a fun bunch to watch the debate with. We're all from New York City. People are always shocked when they see the real deal. But no, I mean, I think that, The debate tonight is really meant more than anything else to give people on the mainstream media side of things the talking point that they're preparing beforehand. I have to give a hat tip to Sean Davis and Molly Heminger, the Federalists. They had a back and forth on Twitter over all of the takes the journos are going to share from he really showed up tonight, he got it done, it was a knockout, they should have thrown in the towel. Like, this is Sean and Molly at the Federalist laid all this out, and I was like, I don't even know why national journos are going to show up after this. Like, why are they going to say anything? We got it all.
I have this theory, Buck, that at least for the first 30, 45 minutes or so until the drugs wear off, as I've told everybody tonight, it's the worst kept secret in D.C. that they are juicing Joe Biden out of his mind before these major events to get him ready for them. That I think before those things wear off, he's going to do fine, and that's probably enough for Joe Biden tonight. He has to show the general public that he's a functional adult, which he's not, but they can present him as that for a while. Is my prediction wrong?
If Joe Biden shows up on stage with his pants on and does not try to burp the alphabet or just stand up and scream, I am a Tyrannosaurus Rex, the media is going to say that it was a brilliant performance by Joe Biden. That's all he has to do. That's all he has. And that's, by the way, true of his entire presidency. It's just he's got to be. He doesn't have to be good. He doesn't have to be smart. He's just got to be. And they'll push him forward. They'll do the rest. So I hope Trump can. I think Joe Biden's got a glass jaw, since we're going to use boxing analogies all night. We always do. And I think Trump can take him down on it.
Yes. I do too. Do you think Trump can get a rise out of him? I mean, look, there's nobody better in politics at getting a rise out of somebody than Donald Trump. And Joe Biden, people forget how mean and nasty that guy can be if you get under his skin. Can Donald Trump do it? Will he do it?
Oh, I think he absolutely will. I mean, Biden is going to, you're going to see him trying to hold back angry old man Biden, which we've all seen. It's like the get off my lawn guy, but you're not actually on his lawn. He's confused about where he is, but he's still very angry at you, thinking you're on his lawn. That's what you're going to see with Joe Biden tonight. He will at some point raise his voice. And of course, Democrats are going to love that. Look, I'm not a big believer in debates moving the needle. I think it's great for us. It's fun to see. It'll be intriguing. But I don't know how much it really convinces the 10 to 14% of voters who are undecided. If you go back and remember, I mean, now I can't make enough Mitt Romney jokes. But although he might vote for ACB, but if you go back and remember the Obama first Mitt Romney Obama debate, Mitt Romney crushed him. I mean, Democrats were in mourning for days afterwards. That was before the Candy Crowley terrorism foreign policy debate. Didn't really do anything. Didn't change anything.
Man, you totally burst my bubble. I genuinely think they do matter. I'll put it to you this way. I think this debate, because it's the first one and there are questions about whether or not Joe Biden's brain is cottage cheese, I think it does matter. I think a lot of those undecided voters at least tune in early for 20, 30 minutes and check him out. You don't agree. You think this is just for you and I and all the political nerds watching my show right now.
I mean, everyone's going to watch this who has any interest in politics at some point, or they'll watch portions of it. Will that affect even maybe subconsciously who people will vote for who are undecided? Perhaps. But I think that if you don't already like Biden or Trump, watching this debate, unless there's some real collapse moment, it doesn't feel like I don't see this changing any minds. But look, man, the fun thing about politics these days is all the people who are supposed to be right or wrong all the time, and nobody seems to care. So we got that going for us, Jesse, which is nice.
Yes, yes. that is one of the nice things. All right, moving on past that. We got this SCOTUS thing. I saw they're planning on a vote end of October on ACB. Doesn't that seem a little too down to the wire, or do you think that's intentional?
I think this is wrong. I think this is a bad move. I want to be very clear about this. I'm pretty sure I've been on your show and Dr. G's show, and among others, and of course my own, saying the people who think that St. Durham is going to save us from the deep state are going to be very disappointed. And I was right about that. That's not going to happen before the election. I'm also going to say right now, I think that people forget how devious and dastardly these Democrats are. Remember, the Kavanaugh hearing was sailing through, Jesse. It wasn't like they pulled out the Me Too ambush at the beginning. It was toward the end. Everything was going fine. And then they sprung it at the last second. We are giving Democrats time to get together a game plan, a strategy of sabotage. If it were up to me, Mitch McConnell would hold a vote next week, and then there'd be a big banner out in front of, you know, every Republican member of Congress's office that says, deal with it. That's it.
Which do you think will finish first, the Turkey-Armenian tension between those two countries or the Durham investigation? I can't figure out which.
Well, no, I'm very confident that Lindsey Graham will appear on Fox News at some time in the next few weeks telling us that any moment now we will find out about what really happened with the deep state. He's going to get us those answers. Just tune in tonight to a show that he's on, and he'll probably tell us that again in 6 months.
Well, how does he get away with it for this long? Because I'll tell you, like everybody else, I've been frustrated with Lindsey Graham for most of his career. And then during the Kavanaugh thing, like everybody else, I came around and thought, man, this guy has really come around. I'm on Team Graham. And then I woke back up and realized nothing changed. That was a gigantic fundraising effort for Senator Lindsey Graham, who knew he was going to get great TV out of it.
Ever seen The Karate Kid? Not the Cobra Kai, which we should talk about another time. But, you know, LaRusso lands that ridiculous crane kick and wins the trophy. So, you know, once in a while, the nerd that everybody could actually beat up in real life lands the crane kick. That's all I could tell you about Lindsey Graham.
Buck Sexton of the Buck Sexton Show. Thank you, my friend.
Great to see you.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
I know you're going to watch the debate tonight. And what I want you to do after the debate is this. I want you to go to your room, crawl into bed, close your eyes with an ebb sleep on. Because that's what I'm going to do. And I am going to wake up tomorrow morning after 8 solid hours of sleep and feel like $1 million. And it's not a mystery for me. Like, I don't have to hope that. I know that now because I have an ebb sleep. I want that for you too. I continue to get emails from people telling me, thank you, thank you, thank you. Every single one of them, I should read them on the air, says, thank you, I never knew. This thing will calm down those racing thoughts. It will put you asleep fast, and it will keep you asleep. Go get one. You can try it risk-free for 60 days. Go to tryeb.com/Jesse. That's tryeb.com/Jesse. Use the promo code Jesse. Get $25 off. We'll be back. Joining me now, Corey Lewandowski. He's the senior advisor to Trump Pence 2020. He's also the author of Trump America First, The President Succeeds Against All Odds. And I want to actually talk to you about that last part first, Corey. Succeeds against all odds. I have been frustrated, to put it mildly, with how deeply entrenched our anti-Trump bureaucrats are, even in the military. They seem to be everywhere. And Trump is having to fight people within his own administration half the daggone time. What can he do about it? Can he clean these people out, or are there too many of them?
No, look, the truth is this president has been up against the wall since he came down that escalator. We saw the fake Russia narrative. We saw the FBI, Comey, Clapper, Brennan, McCabe, Strzok, Page, you know all the names that use their badges and their guns to go after us. And look, when you talk about fighting the bureaucracy, In this book, there is a chapter, the second chapter, where I get into a physical altercation with the then chief of staff, John Kelly, just outside the Oval Office, because these people don't want to do what the president asked them to do. And I'm a fighter. And when John Kelly, you know, threatened me and grabbed me, I said, hey, buddy, I'm fighting back. The whole story's in this. This book also has a story of me fighting in front of Congress for the president when they told us we colluded with Russia. We know it was all just made up. Little Adam full of Schiff knew it was a lie from the very beginning, but they perpetrated it to try and take down a duly elected president.
Corey, I'm actually glad you brought this up about John Kelly, because this has been a source of frustration for me as well. I'm a Marine, or at least was back about 30 pounds ago and about 15 years ago. And seeing some people like John Kelly, seeing even Mattis, seemingly go sideways and turn into people that I didn't think I knew. I don't recognize these people. What happened to John Kelly? Or was he always like this and I've been blinded by the Eagle, Globe, and Anchor?
Well, let me say this. You know, my brother served 23 years as an active duty Marine, retired from the Marine Corps, and I have the utmost respect for him. I had the opportunity to pin him when he became a second lieutenant. And so it was a real honor for me as a younger brother to be able to do that. And I thought John Kelly was a man of duty, honor, integrity. But what I saw was open disobedience from the commander in chief. He was given direct orders and just summarily dismissed them. He thought he was the president of the United States. As so many others have done in the world of Donald Trump, they thought he would simply forget that Donald Trump would give them an order or directive to do something. And they would just say, you know what? The old man's crazy today. I don't feel like doing it. Well, let me tell you something. The American people elected Donald Trump to change Washington, D.C., and that's exactly what he's doing.
Where's the opposition really coming from, Corey? Is it Donald Trump's foreign policy, which is much more in line with my foreign policy? Because that seems to be a real wedge between him and the intel community, him and the military community. They don't seem to want to let go of that. Is that the main one?
Of course it is, because the military-industrial complex makes a lot of money off of wars overseas. And this president's foreign policy has been very clear. Look, let's bring our men and women in uniform home unless there is an absolute reason to have them forward deployed. Now, that's not to say you don't have a QRF somewhere, a quick reactionary force somewhere. That's not to say we don't strategically have our men and women deployed in places. But let's get rid of the never-ending wars. You know, we've been at war in some places for 20 years. Kids who are out there fighting for us right now weren't even born when we started. And what are we fighting for? Look, I am absolutely pro-military, and I think that when our military gets forward deployed, they should have every resource available to them to make sure that we can succeed. But nobody that I can think of, and the president included, thinks that we should continue on foreign soil for 20, 30, 40 years at a time, unless there's a strategic reason. The military-industrial complex wants to keep people out there.
Corey, I've been trying to prep people for what I think is coming in Afghanistan, and you are more than welcome to yell at me and tell me if I'm wrong about any of it. I think the president wants us out of there. I think he's making several moves to get us out of there. But I've been trying to let people know getting us out of there, part of that is going to involve talking to people who are absolute scumbags. That's why they call it peace. You only make peace with your enemies, as the saying goes. How is Donald Trump going to go about presenting that message to the American public of, yeah, I don't love sitting down with the Taliban either, but we're doing it?
Well, look at his record of Middle East peace. I know it's a different thing, but it was the first Middle East peace deal completed in 26 years, between known adversaries, countries that have just hated each other since the inception of time, if you will. And when you put Israel and others at the same table and Donald Trump brokers that deal, that shows as a great deal maker what he can get done. The truth is, Afghanistan has had wars going on there for literally thousands of years. Everybody's tried to conquer it. It's not our job to be forward deployed there forever. Let these people govern themselves. Show them the opportunity to do that. But what we've seen, and you know this, is blue on green violence. We've seen that they don't want us there anymore. And the truth is, one American life lost there is one too many.
Corey, Joe Biden. Now, obviously, I disagree with Joe Biden's stances on pretty much everything, because I'm as partisan right hack as you can possibly get. I don't pretend otherwise. He physically and mentally cannot do this job, though. And don't you think, more than anything else, whether people love Trump, hate Trump, I get it. Don't you think that's going to matter to the American people? I think we're going to see it tonight during the debate. Don't you think that's going to matter? The guy cannot do the job. It's a hard job.
Look, 1,000%. Look at Donald Trump's stamina. Look at his schedule. He wears out people that are 30, 40, 50 years younger than him. He's doing 5 events a day. He's not resting for a week to then go do a debate. Joe Biden in tonight's debate asked for 2 bathroom breaks in a 90-minute debate, his first televised debate, and he asked for 2 bathroom breaks, and we said, absolutely not. You want to be the leader of the free world? You want to have the keys to the most powerful military the world has ever seen? Go stand on a debate stage for 90 minutes and answer questions. Donald Trump last week flew to Miami in the morning, flew to Atlanta in the afternoon, flew back to D.C., did an event there, flew down to Virginia after that, and then flew back all in one day. While Joe Biden called a lid on his activities at 8:30 in the morning, I want somebody, even if I don't agree with them, I want someone who's going to go fight for me. And Donald Trump is that fighter.
What can be done about the drugs thing? It's the worst kept secret. I opened up my show talking about it. It's the worst kept secret in Washington, D.C., that Joe Biden has a medical team getting him ready for these big public events because he just obviously cannot do it anymore for whatever reason. What's the solution? I mean, the Trump campaign, they've been outstanding about calling for the drug tests. The Biden campaign is refusing it. Do you think calling for it is enough? Is there anything else that can be done?
Well, just remember, when the president has to go take his physical, we release all of his statistics, his height, his weight. They say he's obese. We list every piece of medication that he's on and the doses that he's on. And if Joe Biden wants to be the commander in chief, then he should have to do the same thing. Look, you and I both agree. Joe Biden doesn't have the mental acuity to be the leader of the free world, the president of the United States of America. And we should know what medication he is on. It is the right of the American people to do it. Look, they have made an argument so many times that Donald Trump is obese and he's overweight by 2 pounds. Look at the way this guy outworks everybody. He has been forward facing on any prescription medications he's taking. What does Joe Biden have to hide? If there's nothing there, then let's have a physical done and let the American people decide.
Kamala Harris, explain to me why Joe Biden would pick Kamala Harris. I always found this to be baffling. He didn't need her to win California at all. I mean, California, not that I expect you to vocally, you know, say that on a television show, but California is going for Democrats. It just is. So what does Harris bring to the table? She was nothing in the Democratic primary. Why Harris?
It's a great point, and I will concede the fact that Donald Trump is not going to win California. That's the only point I'm going to give you on this one. Look, he's not going to win California. Kamala Harris didn't even make it into the Democratic debates, basically, right? She was out before the Iowa caucus. She's not African-American. I know it's a fine distinction, but even Don Lemon said she's not African-American, right? She's black, and there's a difference in the community. As Joe Biden thought, he needed her to get the African-American vote. She's Jamaican by birth. Her father's Jamaican. She's American, but her heritage is Jamaican. And so I don't know what she brings to the table, to be honest with you. Joe Biden has said very publicly he's a transition candidate. I think this is the way he's transitioning, which is don't campaign, don't knock on doors, don't answer media calls, don't answer press questions unless you have a teleprompter in front of you, and set Kamala Harris up to be the next nominee for the Democrats in 4 years.
Does Joe Biden accept another debate after this? I know there's a schedule. I know there's a debate schedule. I had this theory. I didn't think he was going to show up for this one, but he is. Does he show up, survive this one, and then scam out of the others?
I didn't think he was going to be there tonight either, to be honest with you. And look, we asked the Presidential Debate Commission to schedule a 4th debate. Joe Biden is probably the only challenger in modern political history to say no to an incumbent asking for more debates. We asked the debate commission to move the debates up so they coincided more with when the ballots were going out. They said no. So look, my guess is Joe Biden is going to have a fine performance tonight. And even if he doesn't, the media will tell you it's the greatest performance since JFK walked on the debate stage. He has to show up or he's basically conceding the elections.
Tory Lewandowski, the book is Trump America First. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you, brother.
Thank you.
Man brings up some good points. We'll be right back. I have a homework assignment for you tonight. I want you to have fun. I know that this is serious, that presidential elections are serious, the outcomes are serious. I know that's why you love politics, because the stakes are so high. But it's important you take time to enjoy the big events, or otherwise it's just all miserable, isn't it? Otherwise we should just all go play Twister or something. Remember, you don't have to change the channel either. The first, we're carrying the debate live right here. You don't have to change it at all. Once the debate is over, Bill O'Reilly's doing a post-debate show. How often do you get post-debate coverage from Bill freaking O'Reilly himself? You get that too, right here on the first. But have fun tonight. Enjoy it. And I'll tell you something else. Let your kids watch. There's no bad words. How many things can your kids watch on television today that you won't have to scramble and change the channel? Let them begin to soak it in. And you don't have to guide them. Let them soak it in. Let them ask questions. Let your kids know these things do matter. You don't even have to be partisan about it. Or you could tell them Biden's the Antichrist. I'll stop. We can make jokes. Again, have fun tonight. Don't change the channel even after, because Bill O'Reilly's coming on. Enjoy all the debate coverage right here on the first. I'll see you tomorrow.
Your holster is way more important than you think it is. It's just way more important than you think it is. What? Look, and I get that. The holster's not the sexy part of carrying firearms, right? You want to talk about your weapon and your ammunition. You want to talk about your safety training. You want to talk about how you did at the range. Oh, look at my groups. I was doing these farrier drills today. And all that stuff's really important. I mean, really, really important. I'm not discounting that. But I've known so many people who do all those things. They take all the necessary steps, and then they carry with a holster they bought from a big box hunting store that was made 1,000 at a time. Please, don't put your life in one of those holsters. You need to trust Northwest Retention Systems, because it's all custom-made gear. It's the only thing I carry around. NWRetention.com. That's NWRetention.com. Use the promo code Jesse. Get you 10% off.
This is an iHeart podcast.